Bible word for this heart, for the worship and service of God. I belong to God. That is an inescapable truth. We belong to God. He bought us back from sin, and when he saved our soul, and now we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's, the Bible says. To do that, to make a determination. I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. I'm talking about a willful determination in your heart and in your soul that you are God's and you are going to give yourself afresh and anew to God in a way that's been deeper. Now, many of you here tonight have been walking with God for quite some time. You've been saved. You've heard a lot of messages, and I'll be honest with you, I'm praying about what to do after the book of Luke. Now that I've got one more message, I'm trying to finish on the You Ask For It series that's just taken a lot of research, but I've been praying about what to do next, and I've preached through many of the New Testament books. So this year, I am challenging myself to break new ground in my study. You know, you hear a lot about the life of Christ and the writings of Paul. But the question is, do you realize there's still things you and I can learn? You've been walking with God for 30 years, great. What are you going to do for the next 30? There is more. There is an inexhaustible supply of God's grace and God's mercy and God's blessing that you and I have yet to tap into, and we won't if we don't consecrate or determine to do so. Now, if you take your Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 116, but let's look at the classic Old Testament verse on consecration. Take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. This is in the life of Hannah and Samuel. Hannah makes a determination to consecrate her son to the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And verse number 11, 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. She prays and it says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then, if you'll do this, then I will, that's a determination, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. He will live separated life. That's what he's talking about. It's a Nazarite vow, is a separated, consecrated life that this boy, I will raise him and purposely train him to serve you all the days of his life. That's what consecration means. Now look, drop down here to verse number 24 of this same chapter. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. That is the classic Old Testament story on what consecration means. To go ahead and plan in advance to determine that this that I am giving to the Lord is for the Lord's glory and the Lord's service. Many of you have already started planning your summer. Some of you will be moving. Some of you are going to head to Disney. Some of you will head to camp. Some will do this and some will that. We're already filling in things on our calendar. Do not forget to plan your walk with God. To plan afresh and anew. Maybe this is the year that you read through the Bible fully. Maybe this is the year you read through the New Testament every single month. Or maybe this is the year that you will memorize Psalm 23 or Psalm 19. Maybe this will be the year you remember the Romans Road. Maybe this will be the year that you'll lead somebody to Christ. But I'm telling you right now, it isn't going to happen if you don't plan now. Not going to happen. You're not just, you know, tonight, praise God. Listen, I got to lead Quentin to the Lord. That's a gimme for me, but that was hard work for mom and dad. Mom and Dad did all the work on that. That was low-hanging fruit. That was a gimme. That doesn't happen normally. You got to spend time. He wanted me to talk to him. But the truth is, she had done all the praying and working because she determined in advance to do so. Now listen, I'm not here trying to elevate her above her station. I'm trying to tell you, plans had been made. Effort had been put in place. Work had been done. And now the result. You and I will not reap a harvest spiritually this year if we do not plan and follow through on sowing. Now listen, the world has gotten more wicked. The world's gotten crazier. And the grace you had yesterday, you need new grace today. And what you're going to face tomorrow, you're going to need new grace you've never touched before, never experienced before. Because you don't get grace for what you don't face. And tomorrow you're going to face something bigger. And this year, 2023, this really could be the year Christ comes back. I mean, we're breaking into what Ezra referred to as the seventh day this year in prophecy. You understand, this could be the year. Are you ready to meet him? Is your soul, you say, I'm saved. Okay, well, who have you become in Christ so far? You know, several people in this room have walked for God for 40 years, but there's still room to grow. There's still room for more grace. Some of you have been walking with God for a few months. There's tons of new grace. Yes, I understand that. But it won't happen if you don't plan for it to happen. I went to a seminar called First Things First with Covey. Anybody ever do that? Huh? You know, Sunday night before I go to bed, I'm planning my week. I've got my appointments. I filled in those blanks. I know what I'm doing. I'm trying not to fly by the seat of my pants. But spiritually speaking, we're flying by the seat of our pants if we've not made provision or plan and committed to walk with God. You're just taking life as it comes. And sometimes it's really overwhelming. And so instead of us responding, we end up reacting. It requires not just a commitment, but a concentrated decision, a consecration, a determination in advance. This is going to be my year. We are raising a generation that has not seen revival. We're raising a generation who's not seen the movement of God change lives. It's a fairy tale because they've not seen it. And I am determining in my heart that I need God to do something greater in me. And I'm not satisfied. You say, well, you got a lot of the Bible memorized. Yeah, but not enough, obviously. There's more to do. There's more to learn. There's more to grow. Let's look at the classic New Testament consecration verse. Look at Romans 12 and verse 1. Everybody can probably quote this one. Paul, with the word beseech, means to implore with urgency. I beseech you, therefore, I'm begging you with urgency, brethren. I'm talking to Christians. By the mercies of God, because God has been merciful to you, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To set it aside and say, I belong to God. First and foremost, above everything else, I am God. It's person. See, God wants to be all we ever needed because we're all he ever wanted. That's what he wants most, is us. Take your Bible, go to Romans 6. What does consecration look like? Well, Romans 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. You are a slave to whomever you yield yourself to, whether it's an addiction or whether it's another type of sin, it doesn't matter. Or if it's God, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto righteousness or unto death or obedience unto godliness. Look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I'm trying to be practical here because I know you live in a body of flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity. The fact that you know what it means to go on and give in to sin and say no to the conviction of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit gives you that way of escape. You know what that means. You know what that feels like. I need you to connect with that for a second. just as you've done that in the past. You have to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit who says, no, don't do that. Or yes, go do this instead of that. Look what it says here in verse number 19. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. See, consecration is a willful determination of you setting yourself aside and saying, I belong to God and I am here for his use and his purpose. Whatever God wants, however God wants it, whenever God wants, he gets. Because I belong to God. You know, I was watching some foolish show the other night. And for some reason, everybody, whoever writes these stupid shows, feels like everybody needs to go out to a bar and have a drink after work and talk. And they used to live in that lifestyle. And they're all miserable. I was miserable. I'd rather be in church, listen to a young man sing a song about how God saved his soul. I'd rather be here with the people of God who are rejoicing at a soul saved. I would rather be here. That world's got nothing for us. And it's foolish to think, what am I missing? What am I missing? You're not missing anything that's worth anything. It's just God and his joy. Because joy, it transcends happiness. It transcends what happens in your life. It's an inside job, but it's a determination, a consecrated effort for you to say, I'm God's. And whatever God sends is my way, I know God is with me. I was talking to a young man that I got to lead to the Lord about 6 weeks ago. We started a little Bible study on Tuesdays here at my office. And he said to me, he said, I don't ever want to go back to that. He said, I have joy. And every time I read this Bible, it's changing my desires and what I want. I'm like, yeah, isn't this better? He said, I don't ever want to go back to that life. There's nothing for you. But not determining in advance, all you're doing is just floating. You're making decisions on your summer, and you should. You should be here for Vacation Bible School. People get saved, lives get changed. You should plan in advance to send your kids to camp. And if you already kids are grown, well, then plan on sending somebody else's kids to camp because you're making a difference for eternity. But there is so much more that we could do for God. But it's going to start with each individual saying, I will. And then you fill in the blank. In Psalm 116, David is going to make several I will statements. Several statements where he says, I will, and then he fills in the blank. There is a lot that can be said about how you finish the phrase, this year, I will, and you fill in the blank. A lot can be said and inferred from what you say. And when you say, I will not blank, and you fill in that blank, a lot can be said about your character, your integrity, your spiritual walk. A lot is said about that. What are some things you will or will not do in 2023? It won't happen unless you determine now. If you don't make it what I call a concentration determination, hey, now. Where are some places you will or will not go in 2023? You're never going to follow through unless you make that determination now. What are some things you will or will not say in 2023? David is going to fill in these blanks in Psalm 116. The answers to these questions say a lot about you. The situations that cause you to go back on those determinations also says a lot about you. It's commonly assumed that David is the author. It's a hallelujah psalm. It's a psalm of thanksgiving because it ends with praise ye the Lord. It's also what we refer to as a paschal psalm, a psalm that was commonly read and chanted and sung at the Passover. Very likely, this was the psalm that they were singing when Jesus finished the Lord's Supper and went out. He obviously did it as a child. This is what was common to the Jewish people. And I believe that psalm is an excellent example to us. So let's get into it. Turn to Psalm 1, chapter 16. Psalm 116. No one can make you make these determinations. No one can force you. No one can coerce you. You got to decide now what you want. Just like you decide whether it's going to be a Caribbean cruise or Cozumel or whether it's going to be Disney or the mountains. You make these decisions based on what you want. And a year from now, you are going to get what you determined to do. Or you'll be stuck with what you determined, what you failed to determine to do. Look at verse number one. I will love the Lord. He says, I love the Lord. He's real. I love him. Can you say that today? Have you told him today? Have you told the Lord? When long has it been since you said, I love you to your spouse? How many times a day do you tell your spouse? You know, they need to be reminded. How many times you tell the Lord you love him? Has the idea that you love the Lord changed the way you behave? Has it directed your choices? I mean, well, I could spend the whole night on that phrase. Do you love God? You know, if your friend came to you and said, well, does your wife or husband love you? Sure. Okay, how do you know? If somebody, if Gabriel walked up to a father and said, does that person right there love you? How do you know? You hope God would be able to say. It's evident in their choices, their desires, in the choices they make, the determinations they do. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. It's referring to how David would pray aloud. I mean, there's nothing wrong with silent prayer, but God takes pleasure when we open our mouths and we pray aloud because God heard and answered the prayers of David. He loved God even more. How many of you have you had a prayer request answered in the last 7 days? When was the last prayer request you had answered? You need to ask more. Verse 2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Now, this is not just omniscience, but loving, caring interest in me. That's what David is saying. Yes, I know God knows everything. But you know, God, more than just knowing everything, God actually leans in when I talk to him. That's a promise, and I love him for it. Your wife will love you more, guys, if you will lean in and listen when they talk. God responds that way. Psalm 103, verse 13, like his father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Like we ache when our baby cries, so does our father. Now look at that verse 2. He says, therefore. Now I love that. Because he hath inclined his ear to me, therefore I will talk to him. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him. David vowed to seek him in prayer. I am going to talk to God. I'm going to spend my days speaking to him and for the rest of my life. You understand, I've been saved since October 9th, 1990. And I don't intend to quit until the Lord comes back. But every day from now until the end, I intend to continue to pray and read my Bible. I intend to continue to find places where I can serve and win people to the Lord and teach people something, because that's what goes to heaven. I spent a day, we were sick. I was a little better than Miss Mix. So I went out to my garage for a day. It was a little warm. And I put a lot of my tools away and fixed a lot of my tools. I can at least find them now. You know, and I felt pretty good about that project. But it don't matter in eternity. It doesn't. I mean, it's great and it's convenient for me, and it's one of those little nutty things I like to do is have my stuff put away. But it doesn't matter in eternity. What are you going to do in 23 that's going to matter for eternity? That's going to bring you joy for the next 30 years. I'll never forget the day I led Quentin Hyde to the Lord. For the next 30 years. I remember the day I led Alvin to the Lord. I'll never forget that. I was there. I was awake and I was sober. I'll never forget that. The day I baptized him and his brothers. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the day we led Sammy to the Lord. Sammy got baptized. I'll never forget the day. For the rest of my life. What have you done this year that you'll never forget for the rest of your life? David said, because in verse 1 and because in verse 2, I can't help it. Because of his love and his concern for me, I am motivated. I will consecrate myself. I will. I recognize my need. I am not okay without God. I'm not okay. I am not okay without hearing from him. I'm not okay if I don't talk to him. I'm not okay. It's not going to go well. I will call upon him as long as I live. This is a lifelong pursuit, a lifelong passion. You know, one of the things I hope to do for your kids is what my pastor did for me. Brother Bob was still reading his Bible and getting something from God at the age of 86 up until the moment he died. He was still getting something new. I have a lot of his handwritten notes all the way up to the end. He was still hearing from God. How I want it to be. Brother Mike, your dad, when we called on him to pray, he knew right who he was talking to. All the way up to the end. You know, we're talking about setting aside these setting these determinations down now in our life that will carry us through the next 30 years or 40 years or until the Lord returns. That's what we're talking about. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. When I realize how much I'm loved, I'm so motivated. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Because of God's love toward me, I'll never be the same again. I will never look at the world the same again, and I'll never desire the same things again. I will never live the same way again. Verse 3 of Psalm 116, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. David had walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He had buried children. He had buried comrades. He had buried friends. He saw God working in his life, throughout his life. David is saying, I will not turn back when trouble comes. What sort of trouble will change the I wills in your life? David was a type of Christ in the fact that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, just like Jesus. Jesus endured the death of friends. He experienced the pains of death. In John 18, it says, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know, having problems are normal. It's the default setting for every human being. We have problems. Things arise. It says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Your problems are part of life. Job said, naked I came into the world, naked from my mother's womb, I shall return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 2:10, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? You know, God doesn't owe me anything. That is a determination we all need to come to. God doesn't owe me a thing, not even an explanation. But verse 4 of Psalm 116, I will put my trust in him. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I believe David and Jesus made great use of this prayer. In the hour when death was near, David cried out unto the Lord. And I believe that in this he was a type of Christ. And the Lord did the same thing. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word deliver means to let escape. Look at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord, righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The twin pillars of God's character is he's gracious, which emanates from his love, and he is righteous, which I don't deserve anything. But because of his righteousness emanates from his holiness, as a result, God is merciful. Mercy is the outworking of grace. Verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I fall into that category. He preserves me. I was brought low and he helped me. And God has to do that to me to get my attention. He has to bring my pride low. That's why it says in James 4, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves. Go on and make a determination now. And I'm going to submit myself to the Lord. and all that he has for me. And in verse 8 of James 4, it says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. That's talking about your actions, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. That's your thoughts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. There's going to come some blows this year. You're going to take a punch in the gut somewhere this year. What are you going to do? You going to give up? You going to curl up in a ball? You going to stop reading your Bible? Well, this isn't fair. Anything short of hell is grace, right? I don't get an explanation, and I'm not owed one. But I get his grace to face. Verse 7 of Psalm 116, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. What's going on? David was anxious. David was having anxiety. David was having problems. And David had to talk himself off the ledge by reminding himself of the goodness of God. He had to go say, hey, wait a second. Why am I freaking out here? The Lord has been so good to me. This ain't nothing for the Lord. You know, take a deep breath. Relax. Focus your attention on him and wait upon him. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Everything was just fine before you got punched in the gut. I understand that, but is God still not on the throne? Well, yes, he is. Has he not been good to you? Oh, my soul, Ephesians chapter 3, above that which we could ask or think, he has dealt bountifully with me. Okay, then take a deep breath. My soul, calm down. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine ears from my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Verse number 9, I will obey him. Look what it says in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What does that mean? God has the best deal. He has best practices for our life, and you can't improve on God's way. You just can't improve upon God's way. He determined, David determined to live his life openly as a book for others to read. And he knew his life would be a sermon in shoes. And while God gave him breath, he would so order his life, but only because he made a determination in advance to do so. He's going to face some hard times after he wrote this. You realize this was written, and he still had to face the fact that Solomon's half-brother tried to steal the kingdom while David was trying to give it to Solomon. And his family was divided, and David was still taking shots from the world, but he had made this determination. Verse 10, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I love that, I believed. That's I know that I know. And have I spoken? My faith should determine my speech. Then I was afflicted. Nonetheless, David's faith stood sure. Verse 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Yeah, people are messy. I should expect that people are messy. And I should not be shocked that people are messy. And if you deal with people, you're going to get some on you. And that's okay. You know, aren't you glad the people who were helping you and dealing with you when your life was super messy didn't give up on you? If I quit, will you quit? If so-and-so in the church dies, are you going to quit? If we decide to go with a different color, are you going to be upset and quit? What's going to make you quit this year? You better make that determination now because the devil's trying to figure it out. He is super scary smart and he's trying to figure out what is it going to take to make you quit. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Somebody forgot my birthday. That goofy pastor sent me a birthday card 6 months in advance or 6 months late. I can't tell. He's a goof. I know. I do these kinds of things. What's going to make you quit? What if we get it all painted and all beautiful and somebody spills coffee? You're going to quit? What are you going to do? The devil is trying to figure out right now what it's going to take to get you to take a step back. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to work it out. You should not be shocked. Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? What can I possibly give the Lord because of all the goodness he's done for me? I have nothing but myself. How can I honor God? By faithfully living my faith. How can I pay him back? I can't. fully, but I can be faithful to obey. I can honor him. Well, I don't have the talent so-and-so has. Doesn't matter. I can honor him with what I have. Well, I don't have a lot of money. Doesn't matter. You honor him with what you have. Well, you know, I'm not good at this. That's fine. Honor him with what you have been given. Verse 13, I will sanctify myself to him. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. All I have is me. All he wants is me. All my love, my devotion, my affection, my obedience are set aside for him alone. Isn't it great? God doesn't want perfection. All God wants is you. So I will be faithful unto the end. Look at verse number 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of his people. I will live publicly. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what others say. I will identify with him publicly. That's what baptism is, by the way. That's one of the ways we identify with him. By living his word is another way we identify with him. By testifying of his goodness and giving him praise is another way we identify with him. By coming to church is another way you identify with him. Verse number 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious, of great value in the sight of the Lord is the death. What is the price of your vow? I believe, I love, I will. Okay, what is the price of that? The death to this world. You know, we all want eternal life, but daily death is something we try to avoid. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. The price of our vow is not only death to this world, but death to self. I am thy servant. He says it twice. Do you think it's because God didn't hear him the first time? Do you think it was because God didn't understand, you know, classical Hebrew and he had to rephrase? No. He had to remind himself, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. I am thy servant. And don't be shocked if you're going to have to get up every day and go, I am the Lord's servant. First and foremost, I am the Lord's servant. I will consecrate myself. Look at verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer. I'm going to stop pulling up short. That's really what you're saying. I like watching goofy videos on Facebook. Okay, that's my sin. I get it. But I like watching these. I like it when they strip away all the commercials and the dumb plays in a football game and just show me all the cool plays all the way in. It shortens a whole half hour and a half experience to like 20 minutes. And I get this really cool. I watch a football game in 20 minutes, right? But what's crazy is you see these guys who grab the interception and they are trucking for that goal line and they can't see peripherally, so they don't realize somebody's on their tail, so they start to slow down and get haughty. And then somebody nails them in the 5-yard line. Somebody strips the ball out of their hand. It's because they pulled up short. In pride, they went, this is good enough. This is good enough. Baseball, you run it out to first base. I watch these monkeys in our Washington Nationals. I'll watch a game, and they'll hit a ball, and they'll get within 10 feet of first, and they stop. Man, I'd make those guys run laps. You run it out because some monkey may drop that ball, and you actually get there. That's what we pay you for. But they pull up short. You've seen those videos. You pull up short. You and I got to stop pulling up short on God. We got to stop calling it in. We got to stop leaving it in low gear and go, this is good enough, you know, because I'm not as sinful as this person, or I'm not having problems like I used to. Yeah, but this isn't government work. People used to say this is good enough for government work. No, this is God's work. Quit pulling up short on God. That's really what he's saying. I'm not going to pull up short. I'm going to stop pulling up short in my prayer time. It's my peace offering to God. I'm going to stop pulling up short in my praise. Psalm 145, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. I will stop pulling up short. We don't work our way to heaven. We don't earn brownie points. It's about honoring the one who loves us above all. And when we pull up short, we're just telling God that's good enough. That's good enough. Lastly, I will dedicate myself to him. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of his people. I will man up, not just at church, but I will man up at home. I will man up at work. I will man up at school. I will man up when I play. It doesn't matter what the cost is. It's not an offering if it's not a sacrifice. Here in another week, we're going to be talking about the widow's mite. Jesus isn't interested in equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. Verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. David recognized the weight of his testimony in the eyes of the people in his social network. David intended to be faithful, not just publicly, but privately. And he intended to lead others to do the same. So what are the determinations you're making for this year? What are the I will statements you're going to make? I'm going to do this. I'm going to hit the gym. I will go on a diet. I will lose weight. I will get a facial. I don't know. Whatever you think, what are you determining to do this year? I will buy new clothes, or I will go here, or I will have this vacation, or I will promote, or what are the answers? Whatever they are, I'm not saying they're sinful. I'm just saying they say a lot about your priorities. And it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God, there is more room to grow and more grace to bestow than you've ever experienced. That is what lays ahead of us if we don't pull up short. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Today, God is wanting you, but he's offering himself. God wants you, yes. But God is offering all of himself to us. Our heavenly gracious Father, tonight we come before you, challenged by David's statements. Father, let them not be forgotten in my life this week as we make determinations for our time with you and our walk with you. Father, today there's so much more available than we've ever dreamed from you. Help us to pray big this year, to believe big this year, to dream again. And Father, may you be honored as we surrender ourselves afresh and anew each day. Tonight, God, if there's one among us that's not saved, that is yet to trust Christ as their Savior, may they call upon you in repentance and confession and belief and be saved. But for us, your children, God, there's a stirring that needs to happen in our souls. Stir us, O God, from our complacency. Burden us with a desire for greater from you in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music begins to play, this is your opportunity to talk with the Lord. This is your opportunity to make an I will statement with the Lord, to honor him in your submission. Things are going pretty good. You've had a pretty decent holiday, have you? Things are looking good. There's more available. There's greater that God is offering. Our Heavenly Father, tonight our desire is not to pull up short, God, but to go the entire distance with you. Father, only by your power and your grace can we do such things. And tonight, Father, with this understanding in our heart and mind, we determine to do just that, to walk with you afresh and anew. Father, pour upon us something even greater than we could ask or think. We ask for revival, God. We ask for revival. Bless these folks tonight. Empower them in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.